Virginia, but I'm not so sure it's like...
Order the Tuesday, April 3rd meeting of the Police Judicial and Legal Committee of Mount Pleasant Town Council. We are at the published place and time, and we have our agenda before us. First of all, item number one is approval of the minutes from the March 5th, 2018 meeting. Have a motion, have a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
The minutes are approved. Item number two is public comments. If there's anyone here from the public who would like to comment, we urge you to do so. Step up to the mic. Nobody here to make public. Yes, I figured somebody had to be. Please give your name and address.
Caroline Bradner, 328 East Bay. I'm here to comment on the environmentally responsible packaging and products ordinance. And one thing I just wanted to note for everyone is that there is absolutely no pending litigation against any ban of this caliber in South Carolina. So just wanted to make sure that that was noted for everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to know. Come on up. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. Kelly Thorvaldson, South Carolina Aquarium downtown. I have presented a few times about the harms of plastic to marine life and specifically to sea turtles. We've seen an extraordinary increase of turtles coming in with plastics, but today I'm really just going to show you some numbers that have been entered into our citizen science platform, the Litter-Free Digital Journal. It's basically a litter tracker. We've only been using this for just now a year, so we're really trying to gain users to put their litter data in here. So it really isn't all-encompassing, but the data is telling. The first chart is a pie chart, and the blue group, the largest group, 36%, is various plastics. So these are all of the plastics grouped in together. By far, the largest part of the pie. The second largest is cigarette butts, which unfortunately is probably going to remain up there. But the third largest, which is really notable, is styrofoam. Styrofoam is a single type of material that is used, and it's the third largest piece of the pie. So I think that's really, really incredible to know. Now let's go to the bar graph, and we're going to break down that blue pie chart, the various plastics, and see what types of plastics are being found. So the first bar is 11,038 pieces of plastics. These are still various plastics that it's hard to break down. But when we go to your single plastic items, like food wrappers, plastic bottles, plastic bags, caps, and lids, plastic food wrappers and film is the first highest, obviously behind that various plastic number. Plastic bottles second, and plastic bags are third. So styrofoam is above even that, but plastic bags are the third highest single plastic item that's found and picked up, disposed of properly, and recorded in the Litter-Free Digital Journal. And I'd just like to note that on this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, eight single plastic items listed here, straws and stirrers, are also made the chart. They made it. They aren't listed in that various plastics because they were a big enough number at the seventh highest single type of plastic. So I hope that you'll continue to consider how important this is, that we do away with these things that are really easily replaceable, probably the easiest to replace of those single-use items that we use. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Before we move on? Sure, come on. Hi. Name and address, please.
My name is Cheryl Carmack. My address is 1630 Meeting Street Road, Unit 205. I work for Charleston Water Keeper. I'm the staff scientist and volunteer coordinator, and I'm here to speak in favor of the environmentally acceptable packaging ordinance. First, I want to note that this similar rules have been passed in our local communities of Folly Beach and IOP, and multiple businesses can and already do comply. They're doing just fine. For example, Snapper Jacks, the Windjammer, Rita's, Taco Boy, Lost Dog Cafe. Second, this ordinance gives all of us the opportunity to work together and make sure the switch goes as smoothly and easily as possible with items such as a one-year grace period, a long list of exceptions, and a hardship exemption. And Charleston Waterkeeper stands ready to work with the town and businesses to educate the public about the new rules, why they're important, and how they protect our local waterways. And last but not least, I manage and coordinate all of our volunteer activities, and so I personally participate in all of our cleanup activities. Last year, I organized 24 cleanups in our local waterways, during which we removed 14 tons of debris. And the majority of this, as Kelly noted, is plastic. We know this because we record all the data. And so plastic pollution impacts us all, and this ordinance will go a long way to fix that problem. So we thank you for your consideration.
Thank you for your good work on behalf of our natural environment. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
It's very much appreciated by us. Yes.
Hi, good afternoon. Leah Colabello, 558 Palmetto Battery Way. I have been in marine plastic pollution for 5 years now, ocean conservation for more than 10. I have a company called Plastic Pollution Solutions. I work with organizations to help them reduce their plastic footprint, and these are international organizations that I work with. I'm speaking in support of Ordinance 18024, and I'm going to go real fast because I only have 2 minutes. So while consumers are led to believe that plastic bags, styrofoam containers, and straws are free, grocery stores and other establishments bury the cost of these plastics in the price of goods sold. External costs are not accounted for, which include waste management costs, litter cleanup costs, taxes, costs to other industries such as fishing, tourism, cattle, cotton, environmental costs, and human health costs. Essentially, the overall cost of single-use plastics is much greater than the private cost of providing the single-use plastic to the consumer in the first place. Not only are these social costs immediate, but they will linger well into the future, accumulating from generation to generation. One of the topics that has not been discussed is the cost of nanoplastics in the food chain. Nanoplastics are so small that they can pass through cell walls. This is a newer field of study, but research indicates that nano-sized polystyrene can pass through embryo walls that are present in yolk sacs of juvenile fish. Additional research shows that nanoplastics are passing through the blood-brain barrier of fish as well, causing brain damage. Single-use plastics, such as bags, straws, and styrofoam containers, account for 25% of all plastics manufactured annually, which is about 380 million metric tons in currently, according to The Economist. This number is expected to double in 20 years. If you think that there is a lot of plastic litter drifting around Mount Pleasant now, just wait. So of all the plastics produced, a quarter of it is for single use. Use once, discard after 5 minutes. So population growth and the proliferation of single-use plastics will follow that growth trend. And the plastics industry is eager to continue to put these products that easily leak into the environment in consumer hands. So there's just flood of plastics coming down the pike. And if Town of Mount Pleasant doesn't act soon, the chance to do anything about this at the municipal level may be taken from us at the state level. Town Council has a real opportunity to demonstrate concern about the costs of plastic pollution in the environment and to society overall now and well into the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Seeing none, let's move to item number 3 on our agenda, which is police matters, beginning with employee years of service recognition. Chief Carl.
Okay. Mayor and Council, I have the honor and privilege of recognizing two of our fine officers for 5 years of loyal service to the town. The first officer I'll call for is Patrol Officer First Class Richards. There's the end. Come on up for me. Yeah, come on up. Come on over for me. Officer Richards is completing his fifth year with the town of Mount Pleasant and with our police department. Currently assigned to the patrol bureau where he's protecting all of our citizens out in the town. Very much involved in community policing and many activities to better our community. Another thing I want to recognize Officer Richards for today is we have a master patrol, or senior patrol, or senior police officer stripe you can earn. And to earn this, it's voluntary. Once an officer has completed their initial field training, academy training, and they get off of probation, they're asked to select a career path. Over the next 3 years, they're afforded the opportunity to take specialized training in these career paths in order to earn this stripe, and a little more money goes along with it too each year. They usually pick a discipline, whether it be investigations, traffic, narcotics. But in his case, he picked Master Patrol Officer, which is kind of a jack of all trades, kind of got a sampling of all the different disciplines within the agency, making him a well-rounded, solid patrol officer. So first, I want to recognize him for 5 years, and congratulations. And secondly, I want to award him the rank of Senior Police Officer. So he'll be out of uniform here shortly when he's got the wrong stripes on. Congratulations.
Chief, does he always look that serious?
Always, always. We're working on that. And the next officer I want to call up is Field Training Officer Blaschke. Will you come up for me? He's undercover today.
Wow.
And he's smiling. And he's smiling for this one. Again, recognizing him for his 5 years of loyal service for the town of Mount Pleasant, the police department. During his 5 years, though, he's risen to the rank of field training officer. I should be responsible for the training of all the new officers that are coming in. And as you know, we've added several last year and continue to grow. And that's been quite a job. I don't think he's had a car by himself for quite a long time with the different trainees that had come through. But in addition to field training officer, he also completed the requirements to earn the rank or recognition of senior police officer. So I'm going to recognize him first for his 5 years of loyal service, and I do thank you for that. And I am also going to recognize him with the, and award him the rank of Senior Patrol Officer.
Congratulations again, and well done.
Thank you.
We'll put some more money in the budget for uniforms.
Good job. Thank you.
All right, that brings us to item, the old man left his glasses home today. 3B budget, oh man, thank you. Oh, wow, that's great. 3B budget review for 2019.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, sir. Good afternoon. Happy birthday, by the way. Mr. Santos, Mr. Bustos, good afternoon as well. If you'll flip to the police department tab in your proposed budget. The police department is the largest department in terms of expenditures that we have in the town. And you'll see in a quick review of the budget that it's people, vehicle fuel, and some capital equipment. But you'll notice the largest increase in the budget. Well, overall, I should start with the bottom line. We are proposing the police department budget to increase $969,000 for the next fiscal year. Now, what you'll see in salaries are the result of the school resource officers for every public elementary school, which has been a priority of yours. That is included and funded in this line item. Moving a little bit further down on the budget, you'll see the costs associated with to support our men and women in the police department to include health insurance, federal requirements like Social Security match, and so on and so forth. And one large expenditure in this budget is the 1% mandatory retirement contribution as required by the state of South Carolina. That's reflected in here at a pretty substantial level, $150,000. Two other items are driving the increase in addition to people and things that support them. We're going to be replacing and taking on the replacement of our body cameras that have served us well. I think we were the first police department in South Carolina that had them. And that was how many years ago, Chief? Putting you on the spot, three, 4 years ago. And there's a newer, better technology out there, and we'd like to move forward and go get it. That's a cost of $271,000. In addition to that, what's driving the budget expenditures too is last year we had the costs for the security personnel as you walk into town hall in our general government budget. We move that to police. It's under the supervision of the police department anyway, so it makes sense. But that's $160,000 that's located in here. From a contractual point of view, we are proposing 37 patrol cars be replaced for next year. And, you know, we also have the vehicles necessary to support the new SROs in the schools. And as far as capital, normally I would ask you to flip to the capital side of the budget, but all we have next year for police on the capital side, in addition to the vehicles, is a contribution to the police fire training facility. Both fire and police collectively, we're proposing $800,000 to support that training facility. We're trying to build the budget to reach what needs to go there in the long term. So, of course, the chief is here, his staff, to answer any questions you have about the budget.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Chief.
Are y'all going to have a pistol range in that facility?
We're hoping to. I don't think it's because for this particular loan, we're working on it. It's because it's something that wants to happen.
Yes. Where do y'all have to go to qualify?
Several different places right now. I think we're still ready. So ATP gun shop, they let us come there, and we can get some of the other agencies of Charleston City when they have openings and allow us to use their range.
Are they still at Maybelline?
No, sir. That was a county range, I think, back then. They are at Monk's Corner. They have a range out there they've had for years out of War Range. And then we have another contract with a local gun shop or gun range that allows our snipers to come shoot, our SWAT team to train, that has a longer range.
That's something we really need. You can't be driving all over the state to practice a basic skill like pistol.
No question.
Is it possible that we can have one at our facility, up in Ondo?
It is, sir, yes. During the approval process in Charleston County, you know, that property's in Charleston County, it was required that we not have an open-air range. So it's pushing us inside. And early estimates we have on that is about $1 million, probably $1 million plus, to go ahead and construct that indoor range. So it's been something that I know Chief's been looking at grant money around the country to try to help us reach that, but it's, well, as you know, grant money is harder and harder to find these days. So, but it is a need.
Well, I'm sorry.
I was just gonna ask about Twin Ponds. Y'all ever go up to Twin Ponds?
sometime, but being a public range, sir, it gets kind of dicey. Every now and then you don't know who you're around, and not being able just to take the range over like we want to, because we have specific safety precautions, things we take. We usually don't want to mix with the general public, and their shooting standards aren't quite the same as ours.
I would think maybe y'all would chase them out just by them seeing you come up there.
You calling us a bunch of amateurs, which we are.
No, sir, this is a public range. Hey,
that's true.
It's hard for us to do what we need to do there.
At least they got rid of the refrigerators and the washing machines and stuff.
That's a basic skill. If people want to go out and qualify more often than what's required, should be allowed to. So.
Okay. Any other questions?
Good.
Eric?
Yes, sir. Unless you have any other questions, we'd appreciate a consideration to forward this budget on to the Budget Committee of Council.
All right. I'm looking for a motion.
I'll make a motion to forward the budget.
I make a motion that we forward the budget on to council for approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor of the motion as stated, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? There are none, so it is approved. We will pass that along. Which, let's see, that was items B1 and B2, right?
Yes, sir.
So this brings us to item 3C. Which is announcement of intent to provide law enforcement support to the city of Myrtle Beach.
Yes, sir. This is something I bring to you annually as a, by way, just of information. We've been requested for the past several years to assist Myrtle Beach and North Myrtle Beach when they have their bike weeks. A lot of traffic, a lot of crowd control, and they simply can't handle it by themselves. So this year we'll be sending out two motors to assist them. All the overtime, lodging, food, everything's paid for by the city of Myrtle Beach. Officers to be there. They also receive extra training before they go, diversity training, how to deal with incidents like this. So it's positive for our folks to be exposed to that type of training and those type of events. Not to mention, we have events. As ours continue to grow, we can certainly call Myrtle Beach and North Myrtle Beach to come assist us as needed. So this is just by way of information to make sure you're aware that we'll be in Myrtle Beach assisting.
Well, you answered a question that was going through my mind. It is a positive for us.
Yes, sir.
Okay, the exposure, the training, and all that. Do we get reciprocal help, like with the bridge run weekend or anything like that, or we could if we needed it?
Yes, sir, and then the chiefs have all reached out to me, but fortunately we haven't had to call them in for that yet.
Okay.
The surrounding agencies here in the Lowcountry have been able to help, but they all stand ready to assist whatever we need.
Sounds good. Do you need a motion to that effect, or is that just an announcement?
Just an announcement.
Just
make
an
sure
announcement.
You are aware.
Yes, sir. Any questions or discussion?
No, I tell you, I can always tell when it's bike week because I think they use the stoplight right up in front of my house is the starting point because, man, I can hear them all the time.
We need to get you riding.
That's true. All right, let's move on the agenda then. Thank you for that, and I hope that week goes smoothly. Mm-hmm. This moves us to item 4, judicial matters, and the budget review, item A. So if y'all will walk us through that.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Hello, Ms. Kervin.
Good afternoon.
If you would flip to the court tab of your budget, and you'll see several line items that pertain to the municipal court budget. With the exception of just a few dollars, it is flat overall. And a couple things have happened. We do have increases on the salary side. That includes the 4% on average increase in salaries. And then you have your fringes that are associated with it. Now, what's offsetting it is under contractual services, a little bit of a decrease there, which is helping. But it's not much. We have the mandatory retirement increase mentioned, no new employees, some additional funds to support the public defender, and sir, that's just about it. Ms. LaVisa, do you have any other comment? Unless you have questions.
This budget works?
It works. We make it work.
Do you have to work hard to make it work? Or?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Any questions from council? Is that it on that one?
Yes, sir.
I'll make a motion that we recommend approval of the court budget to full council.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion as stated, signify with aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes. Thank you. That was easy.
Thank you.
Moves us on to item number 5, legal matters budget review.
Well, yes, sir. And if I could ask Attorney Pagliarini to come up to answer any questions that you have. That's under the legal section of the budget. And we do show an increase, about 5%, just about $54,000 for next year. Most of it's in contractual. So we have the mandatory retirement increase, but then we have the next year's increase for the legal contract. And we also have some legal fees in here for litigation that, there it is, that we show a small increase in for next year. And so small budget, but those are the highlights unless you have questions.
No,
oh, I thought you were Scratch. Raising your hand. I'm sorry. Joe, questions?
No, I don't think so.
Where's the line item on the for the litigation?
Yes, sir. It is 1, 2, 3, the 6th line item down.
Got it. That's a 3% increase? Is that the one I'm looking at?
Correct.
Okay. Can you tell us what that involves?
Right now, Mayor, the large pending matter is the town of Mount Pleasant involved in the Park West case,
okay.
Which hopefully, again, will be tried this spring. We have no other than that. Significant legal matters on the horizon, and as you're all well aware, of course that could change any moment. We don't have any forewarning sometimes as if there's going to be a lawsuit brought against the town. I will say we've had somewhat of an uptick in appeals from our various boards, appointed boards, Board of Zoning Appeals, things like that. We've seen a good bit of that in the last few months. Those we don't consider significant matters. They're not asking for damages from the town, but that's what we have pending right now.
Okay. Any Any comments or any questions?
Make a motion that we approve the legal department's operating expenditures and budget to council for approval.
Have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. That moves us to item 5B, review of legal expenditures for the prior three fiscal years. We're on B. C is ordinance. It's the plastic bag.
Okay.
Okay. So now we're looking at 3 years, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yep.
So what I provide.
Hey, Marcy.
Good morning. Afternoon and happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. You didn't have to mention that.
Oh, sorry. what I provided, you had requested the last meeting. So I took the whole budget, the actual budget for fiscal year 16, fiscal year 17, and fiscal year 18 through March 20th. And what I did is I pulled out the specific vendor. So you would see, as you look at those, all the lines, you would see how much was paid in each of those accounts to the specific vendor and then other, and then the total of the actual budget. And then I did want to note that the salaries, when you look at the salary lines, that's strictly the solicitor and two legal secretaries, and that the litigation, it's changed over time. We used to kind of have it all in there. And starting in fiscal year 18, we kind of split out what is expert fees, what are kind of other costs, like court reporters, and then what truly is the fee that we would pay attorney's fees, whether it's our legal team or another attorney. So we split those out.
Council, any questions?
Yeah.
Okay. Can both of y'all explain to me how it works now with the insurance that we have through the Municipal Association of South Carolina? They seem to handle our land use litigation. Is that right? Any decisions that involve a land use, either a denial or something of that sort?
They recently, our legal team actually worked to have them add that provision 2 years ago. I can't remember the cap of it off the top of my head, but what they'll do is as those issues come up, we send it to them and they'd make a determination whether it falls within the range of what they have.
And they is the insurer?
Yes, the municipal pool. Yes, sir.
Right.
They make a determination if it falls within that. Since I've been here, I've probably had some of them kicked out. I don't know the technical legal term, but they classified it a different way. So we do pursue it. We have made some use of it, and it is available to us.
Okay. And so, like, on the case involving when we were sued on Sullivan's Point, that was handled, that kicked in for that. That coverage kicked in for the Bell Hall suit. I'm trying to think of others. Maybe Mr. Pagliarini might can.
Day-to-day.
That's what I was referring to, Long Point Cooper.
Day-to-day trip on the sidewalk, Johnny breaks an arm at the rec center, litigation like that.
All of that, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how many cases are they handling for us right now?
I think they may be best prepared to answer that question.
Keep an active list.
Right.
I'd be happy to send to you.
Sure.
I think the number at this point exceeds 25 in their various forms.
Wow.
At any one time.
Some of them not real big, though, right? Just,
right.
Okay.
So there's a number of them. A lot of them are those slip and falls, things like that. We do get matters and requests that are possible lawsuits that end up being resolved by our insurance carrier before they even become lawsuits.
Okay.
As well.
Okay.
But we do keep a list of that. If you'd like to see it, I'd be happy to send it over.
Sure. That would be great. Thank you. Any other questions on that item? I don't think that requires any. That was just for our information as we look forward and make decisions and all that stuff. So that's item B. Are we ready to move to item C, 5C? All right. We'll move to item 5C, an ordinance amending Title V, Public Services, by adding a new Chapter 53 pertaining to environmentally acceptable packaging and products. This is ordinance number
glasses, please.
18024, thank you. And let's just recap real quickly. This passed first reading at our March council meeting. And so it would be due for second reading a week from today. And decided that there might be some wording of some things that some folks wanted to tweak a little bit. I am not sure what other committees, even though I sat through most of the meetings, have we gotten some suggested edits so far to this ordinance, and can we just sort of go over those briefly? Thank you.
I'll give you the red ones that you've all received.
This was heard in prior committee, but that was really more on the basis of restaurants, how they're going to deal with it. From a legal perspective, these proposed changes by several of our council members have not yet been discussed, and this is, as I understand it, the opportunity to do that. So what you're looking at is a red line version of the proposed changes by several of our council members. We've tried to identify in the margins as to who brought those. It is fairly significant, the number of proposed changes. And just to set the stage, keep in mind that there have been a number of options proposed, and those options can be anywhere from not enacting this to enacting it as it was originally written to enacting portions of it. Yesterday, there was some discussion in committee about changes along the way. And do keep in mind that as currently written, this ordinance provides essentially a one-year break-in period for our businesses to comply with the ordinance. And a question was asked yesterday about that. And changes, of course, can be made at any time. And if council were to pass all, some, or any portion of this, changes could be made along the way. We've seen other jurisdictions where they've extended that period beyond the initial time. Some, I don't believe we've seen any that have reduced it. But there are several options, several ways you can go with this. So from a legal recommendation, I think the things to work out, if I may suggest, are what exact items does council wish to cover, at least initially? And by that, I mean, we've heard about plastic bags, we've heard about food serviceware, we've heard about several, the clamshells. There are several different things that are covered in here. And it depends on what council wishes to either start with or enact in full. Beyond that, I think there was some discussion around the first reading as far as the penalties and enforcement. Those certainly should be discussed because there are some provisions in here about warnings and then moving forward, and it gets a little more strict after that. So whether y'all wish to have some immediate penalty or whether some warning period, however you wish to do that, I think it can be accommodated. Let me also say that we did hear some concerns yesterday about litigation. We have not been able to find any significant reported litigation as far as challenges to these types of ordinances. There have been litigation surrounding the edges of them maybe, but not any direct concern or attacks on the ordinances themselves. So I think there's a fairly good history of being able to defend these types of ordinances from a legal standpoint.
Okay. And do we have an update from where the bill stands in Columbia? Is it H3529 or something like that? I may have the numbers wrong.
We think it's still in subcommittee at this point. We
have in the Senate report after having passed the House, right?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. I want to say a few things before we go. We'll do public comment. You want to make a public comment?
I think the people that are familiar with the bill might have a little more information on what you just talked about.
Oh, yeah, I just had a date if you guys wanted it.
Name and address. And
Caroline Brennan,
sure.
2080 Spring. It is passed out of the House, and it is scheduled for the Senate Labor, Commerce, and Industry Committee for the 12th. It was rescheduled.
For the 12th of April. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. And my understanding is that we would have had to have this in place January to be exempt from whatever they may pass, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Originally, they had it being their date, January
17.
They amended it to make it of 2018, and then they amended it. They amended it to accommodate Surfside and other areas that have done it.
Already done it. Okay. Surfside, Isle of Palms, Folly Beach,
correct,
that we know of.
Beaufort County.
Okay. Okay. Yes, sir.
I was just going to say, we all know that everything gets passed out of the House to go to the Senate to die.
That's true. Very true. A couple things I want to say. I want to see this pass. I want to see one that is effective. I want to see one that's enforceable on the scale of a town the size of ours. You know, we're not a county with different municipalities. We are one big municipality. And I want to see one that's defensible, as you were just talking about, both locally and if people were to scrutinize it in Columbia. And so I think a lot of these suggested edits are going in that direction. Those were the same that I had on a lot of things. I particularly like the ones, again, thank you for the barred glasses. I think we are getting away from suggesting to businesses what they charge for certain components and telling them, hey, we discourage you offering, you know, straws or forks or whatever and all that, because I think that's good. That's not our place. I have a couple of questions and I guess Mr. Pagliarini, having put this together, with all the suggested edits, we are still focusing on the big threat to our natural resources, which is single-use bags and styrofoam, right? We're not moving, we're not weakening that at all, I hope.
That's correct. And I think there's, if you look, which is 53.02, the single-use plastic carryout bags, as well as 53.03, the polystyrene plastic foam disposable food service ware. Those seem to be the major elements.
Okay.
And those appear to be, even with the changes, intact at this point.
Okay. So. All right. I have a couple of concerns, and they may have already been addressed in this. One is, I'm not sure how we would enforce anything about shipping packaging, because if a FedEx center, or, you know, I just picked out one business, any pack and mail thing, gets something shipped to them by Amazon, and somebody says, oh, that's the wrong one, and brings it back and ships it back, I mean, how do we know if that person is vending that stuff or just repackaging and sending it out? Chief, I don't want us to get called, hey, you know, did this originate in this store, or was this a mail back? I mean, there's no way we can stop Amazon from sending that stuff here. I would like to see it stop, don't get me wrong, but I just don't know how we could enforce that. And I'm open to suggestions on that particular one. I mean, don't get me wrong, I want to go after the plastic bags and the styrofoam. I just don't know that with stuff being shipped in this town and people going, whoop, like just happened to me, somebody sent the wrong crock pot, you know, so we had to pack it back up, go back to the store, and out it went. In the styrofoam peanuts that it came in. So I don't want to be in violation of the town law. And then if I dump them out, if they get shipped here, where am I going to dump them? What am I going to do with them? I haven't figured that out. Same with the cutlery. If somebody can help me figure out how we get from here to there, did Beaufort's include the cutlery, or we're taking all the cutlery out? Okay. Wow, we're just moving right along. How about the cup lids? Is that still in or is that out?
Straws are included.
Okay. Straws are, as they should be. I have a problem with straws. I mean, I'm speaking for me personally. And then one other thing that I had was the about the fines and the offense wording, which you mentioned. Can we, the first year that it's in effect, do warnings? Because generally with the growth in this town and the number of new businesses, the growth of our Chamber of Commerce, somebody might innocently go, whoa, I'm sorry, didn't know that, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to discourage if they're willing, oh, I learned that, and I don't know who's here from that department, but maybe when new businesses open, we say, here's some of our ordinances you need to be aware of.
Yeah. So that's always an issue with enforcement of something like this, and I go back to something years ago with the food trucks.
Right.
We had a pilot program, and it rolled out, and a good bit of knowledge is required, and that's why you'll see in many instances across the country, the year period that we have is really on the shorter side of, yeah, of what we see. And during that period, it can be an when I say enforcement, I mean more educational, because it truly isn't enforcement until the penalties actually take effect. But beyond that, you can have a structured system where, which is contemplated in this ordinance, first warning and then maybe a second warning and then third. And I, from a legal standpoint, this is something we really ask counsel to weigh in on as to what the penalty structure you wish to see. As written, I think it certainly provides enough notice, but we're not out there. We're not the ones operating restaurants. I can't tell you here what the practicality is of everybody understanding and gathering what they're facing, at least as far as inventory and action in the next year. So,
right. And if somebody would like to answer, you'd be recognized from the floor. In the other places that have passed this, and I'm really, I guess, more talking about Beaufort County, when you get a chain restaurant that comes in and they bring a manager in from Kansas City or whatever, you know, how do we make sure they know before they order a six-month year supply of their styrofoam clamshells, hey, you're in Mount Pleasant, we don't do that. Do we have an education system? Do they have one in Beaufort County or something like that? So they had the one-year wait period from enactment to enforcement that we have as well. So that might be something we want to take note of. It doesn't sound that hard to just have a primer for businesses coming to Mount Pleasant, especially fast food and that kind of stuff. You know, the rules are a little different here. Y'all agree with that?
Well, you know, I agree, but I'll tell you what. When you go to a municipality and open a business, you've got to learn what the laws are. Mm-hmm. You can't just go and stumble in and just say, you know, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. Golly, I've heard that a lot of times, but, you know, you've got to know. You've got to find out what the laws are when you open up, or else you'll be in a lot of legal trouble. So,
right.
It to me, it's on the, you know, behooves the owner of that business to find out what the laws are when they move in, so that they're educated and they know right off from the start that they're acting according to the law, or else, you know, they get a visit from our guys in blue. Yeah. You know, so it's like our smoking ordinance. You know, you can't walk in here. If you live in Goose Creek, you're used to smoking in Goose Creek everywhere. You come over here and you light up. You know, I'm sorry. You should know what you're doing whenever you're going to a different municipality and know the laws. And I think these businesses, they all pretty much have attorneys that work for them, and they should be kept abreast of all the laws wherever they go.
Right.
I know I went traveling up north one time, and I thought I could walk in and buy a beer, and all of a sudden find out that it's against the law. You know, but I asked first, and I found out. I didn't just go in and just open a beer, and you know. So you have to. I just think they have to know, and they have to do due diligence and find out wherever they open up what the laws are, so that they're abiding by them from the day they cut the first ribbon. You know.
Right. Joe?
Yep. Thank you. I had probably the simplest edit of all suggested. I said that we should just change it to a prohibition of single-use plastic bags, and with that, the styrofoam, and that should be it. You know? And the other things that concern me are, I don't think the police department's the right agency to be doing this. You know, there are the police officers are out there patrolling. They're answering calls, and they're doing a lot of things. And for someone to call and say, well, you know, I think this place is using plastic bags, I just don't think that's the right agency. You know, the one thing we'll never know is how much crime is prevented just by an officer driving by. And when you take that officer off his assigned route or beat, and you know, you just never know. He's answering a call, but you never know what he prevents just by being in the vicinity. So I don't think that's a good use of police officers' time. I think they need to be out patrolling, answering calls, and helping folks who may be in distress. I don't think this is a good use. Also, I don't believe in section 0.08E that violation of this chapter would be declared a public nuisance. I would have a hard time, someone who may have inadvertently packaged something in a plastic bag and handed it to someone, even if they received a ticket, I just don't believe they should be called a public nuisance. You know, the intoxicated fellow on the sidewalk staggering around, that's a public nuisance. A plastic bag isn't a public nuisance. Let's see, there were a couple others in here. But by and large, I agree with Mayor Haney. And I think if we were to change this for plastic bags and foam, these styrofoam products, if we found that it needed to be made broader later, you know, as Mr. Pagliarini said, we can change it. We can make it more stringent. We can make it broader. But I think to start right from the very beginning being this broad is inappropriate. And as I said, I think the police department, that's not an effective use of our police department's time.
If we were to change that, how would we enforce something like this? What would it be?
I think your best bet, sir, would be making it as part of code enforcement in the planning department.
Code enforcement
officer respond.
Yep. I think that would be good. Yes, Gary.
Chief, this no smoking ordinance that we passed some years ago, how many calls do you guys get about people smoking in places that you have to go give tickets to?
Not too many. I mean, we had one recently and went addressed, talked to the folks, and nothing taken in, they handled it.
So very few.
Not very often, no, sir.
I'll tell you, Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we approve Ordinance 18024, including all the changes that were given to us, and add these in the comments from our council members to that.
Okay, let's ask a couple of procedural questions. The Public Services Committee is meeting this afternoon, so there will probably be, they'll go through this same process. So is it anticipated that Tuesday night we will get an amalgamation of, I mean, this may not be all that is seen, right? There may be some more suggested edits.
Yes, sir, there might. And one thing I would say is what we do have, some of these changes, of course, for example, the enforcement part is a significant one. Whether that's going to be through our code enforcement or through the police department, I don't know. Certainly, if this committee votes that way, that gives us a way to move forward. Somebody else may feel different, and that would certainly be a discussion for council. So, Mr. Santos, when you say put it in that form, what I anticipate is us putting in a form which shows you the various options. And if we can narrow down the things that our council generally agrees on through the committee process and then highlight the areas of discussion, that would be easier for us. My question would go back to you. Is that how you'd rather see it?
So what you're saying is that leaves it open for further editing between now and Tuesday. I think, Gary, that's what you're saying. Incorporate these.
Right.
And there will be more deliberation.
Okay.
So if your motion is that we at least incorporate these, I for instance, would Absolutely. Like to see public nuisance taken out to a code violation.
Right.
You know, it's a matter of words, but it's still a violation. It's just not a public nuisance.
All right.
Now, whether that's included in your motion or not, I don't know.
You know, that could be included in my motion, but I really think our code enforcement officer is all over the place now. He's got more things on his plate than Carter has pills. I mean, I hate to add this on top of it. I just think when people feel like the police are involved, they'll pay a little bit more attention to it. That's just my opinion. It worked with the smoking ordinance, but I'm not saying that the police are going to go and you know, check and see if people are doing things. But if they get a complaint, I think they hold a little bit more weight than our code enforcement officer does. That's my only opinion as far as using the police for enforcement. Not that they're going to go in each place and check and make sure people are doing it, but I can promise you the people who are for the plastics ban will be reporting people who are not going along with it. So, I mean, I just think our code enforcement officer is very busy right now with everything else going on. So I just think it's more weight when we got our guys in blue, you know, paying them a visit.
So your motion, again, is to incorporate at least these as part of the editing process between now and Tuesday. There may be more edits. That
doesn't
mean this is the final form.
Right.
Well, I can second that because we are in the process of of editing. Because public services may add some more edits this afternoon. All right, so we have a motion. We have a second.
I just have a question.
Sure.
So what happens to the notion of looking at police department versus public services?
Me talking.
Or code enforcement.
Y'all have another committee to look at it this afternoon, and then we have full council to look at it next week.
Yes, sir. It's not on...
It's not on public services today.
But it seems like an issue since first reading was had. It would be deliberated at council.
Yeah. It'd be deliberated at council.
That's what I mentioned before, Mr. Bustos. We want to provide something so that at council y'all have identified at the very least a general... Of course, you can't agree to any amendments until council, but you all understand the general consensus of maybe what is agreed to and then the items that might warrant further discussion.
Would that suggestion be in what's going to council then?
Right now, as it stands, the only, from a legal perspective, what passed first reading is there. These changes are, these proposals are working documents that we'll provide to you for discussion purposes so that you can make appropriate motions at council.
And if I may.
You can bring it up at council, Joe.
The other saving grace is we've got a year before this thing goes into effect. We can work on those changes if we want. So,
well, I guess at this point, why are we voting then? We've given the suggested edits. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to the next thing. I don't see where we need to if it's all going to be for general discussion at council, we don't need a recommendation.
My understanding was the motion was that we were just saying we see these, we like these edits, we want to do at least this for discussion. Is that
either way is
fine.
Did
I restate the motion correctly?
What I'm saying is to approve this ordinance with these exceptions included.
That is the recommendation to council.
Yes, and that was the motion and the second to do that. Now, when it comes to council, absolutely, Joe, you can bring that up about the code enforcement officers. That way we can have the discussion. It seems like that's one of the only few things that we'll be discussing, so it shouldn't be a big problem because I think everybody's had an opportunity to weigh in, and we're putting in all those opportunities in the ordinance, and that seems to be the only sticking point. So all of council will make that decision at the council meeting, right? Is that how you feel as well? I mean,
as I said, my edits previously and my comments today, I supported it at first reading. It's still too broad. I can't support it.
Okay, but I mean, you can make that decision at council meeting.
No, I can't support it now.
Okay,
right now, it's still too broad.
So we have a motion, we have a second. Is there any further discussion? Mm-mm. All right, all in favor of the motion as stated, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
All right, so it passes 2-1. All right, next item on the agenda. On the back is adjourn. Is there anything else? So we will adjourn.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. All righty.